the book of 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. From there, we'll draw our primary text. We'll add to the witness out of the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter, and verse 6. So again, 1 Samuel 14 and 1. If you could turn with me there. We'll add to the witness out of the book of Isaiah, 41st chapter and verse 6. Amen. Thank God for all of our young adults today. Did a great job with the praise and worship. I enjoyed it. I enjoy you guys are off to a great start. I also enjoyed the clothing and the styling. I know where you got that from. So, I know your secret. I know, but it looks good. Every last one of you, really, you look good and you sounded good. Hey, if you have those verses, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. As we read out of our primary text, the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 14 and 1. I'm reading out of the King James Version, but I ask that you follow along. You may have a different translations, but if you're there, you will find this particular story. It said, "Now it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrisons that is on the other side.' But Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men. And Ahijah, the son of Abiathar, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. But the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other, Seneh. The front one faced northward opposite Michmash, and the other southward opposite Gibeah. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few.' And so his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart.'" Finally, in verse 8, "And Jonathan said, 'Very well, let us cross over to these men, and we will show ourselves unto them.'" Amen. Let's add to the witness Isaiah 41 and 6, if you turn there with me. "Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, 'Be of good courage.'" Again, everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, "Be of good courage." Amen. This morning, for about 15 or 20 minutes, I want to talk about the role of an encourager. The role of an encourager. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for this day that you have given unto us. We thank you for life and strength and health and blood flowing through our bodies and through our limbs. We thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you for nose to smell and a mouth and tongue by which we can taste and talk. Thank you that we are alive in this world. Thank you that we can not only see the sun, but feel its warming rays. Thank you that we are alive and able to serve you in our human bodies. We have gathered here today for this purpose and this purpose alone, that we might open our hearts and our ears to hear from the Word of God, to have you speak, and to have us listen. So Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Speak the truth and the mysteries of God. Cause them to penetrate our outer shell and our seemingly unfruitful soil. Cause them to find a resting place in our heart. And by the words of God, cause us to be transformed, that we be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. This we ask in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. The two most important days in a person's life are the day they are born and the day they find out why. Mark Twain. People find their purpose in life not always on their own, but often through the consistent current of encouragement from those around them and from those who love them. The Bible highlights many stories of encouragers who gave powerful assistance during challenging circumstances and times. Moses had Aaron and Hur support during Israel's battles. Elizabeth encouraged her pregnant relative, Mary. And it was after his conversion that Paul needed the support of Barnabas, whose name by itself means the son of encouragement. When the disciples were fearful of Paul, it was Barnabas, at the risk of his own reputation, who vouched for him and stood for him. His endorsement was essential to Paul being welcomed by the Christian community. Barnabas later served as Paul's traveling companion and preaching buddy. Despite the dangers, they worked together to proclaim the gospel in the new world. According to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, believers in Jesus Christ are still today called to encourage one another and to build up each other. May we today be eager to offer encouragement to help support others, especially as they face difficult circumstances. I'm going to focus our attention in on verse 7 because it is there in the context of this narrative that we find a good overview of what it means to be an encourager. And so verse 7 reads, and we read it, it says, "So his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart, and go then. Here I am with you according to your heart.'" Amen? So the first thing that an encourager does is that they encourage us to dream big. This armor bearer says to the prince of Israel, he says, "Do all that is in your heart." He does not try to discourage or dilute his vision, but instead stands back and says, "I'm here to support you." He said, "Whatever you desire to do," he said, "do it." Unlike Joseph's brothers, who not only discouraged him, but discouraged his dreams, this armor bearer comes to his prince and says, "Do all that is in your heart." I was sharing with you that the latter part of this week, Jordan and I had the privilege of being down on Morehouse College, their campus, for the students that are coming in there. I was trying to get with Ray, but he didn't want to hang out with us. But that was cool. And one of the things that as you walk on that campus, so steeped in history, it is so many quotes and statues are there for Martin Luther King, one of, not the only one, but one of its great alumni. But when you think about Martin Luther King, you can't help but think about his dream, not only his dream speech, but his actual dream and how his dream was bigger than him. His dream was bigger than him. It was bigger than his life. It was bigger than the lives of his children. And what am I going with by pointing that out? If you have a dream and you can get it done anywhere between 6 and 12 months, it's not big enough. We need more people to encourage us to dream big. So many times when we challenge young people today about where are you going and what do you want to do, so many times the answers are short-sighted or can be easily achieved. We need more young people who are big dreamers. We need more young people who say, yeah, I'm trying to do something I've never seen anyone else do it. And in order for us to produce those kind of young people, we need more encouragers. Because the first job that an encourager does is encourage us to dream big. Look at someone and say, dream big. Secondly, what an encourager does, they come along and they encourage us not only to dream big, they encourage us to go big. This armor bearer says to Jonathan, he said, not only do all that is in your heart, he then says, get going. Get going. I wish we had more encouragers that would tell us, get going. My pastor years ago used to always tell me, talk is cheap. It takes money to buy land. So while you stand here talking about it, somebody else is being about it. While you sitting here planning it out and mapping it out and drawing it out, somebody's got up out of the bed, got themselves together, and are heading down the road in your dream. Instead of talking and dreaming about it, at some point you got to get up and be about it. You need someone, an encourager, to come along and say, come on, get up out of that bed. I thought you said you wanted to do this. I thought you said you wanted to be here by the end of the summer. And if you're going to make that, you got to get up and get going. Touch three people and say, get going. Yeah, that's my job. I'm an encourager. I came this Sunday to tell you, get going. Stop talking about it. Let's stop looking back at American history and let's start writing American history. Let's stop looking back about others who did it and let us become the people who are doing it now. We've got to get going. Encouragers, they tell us to dream big. Encouragers come along and they tell us to go big. They spur us into action. Thirdly, encouragers come along and they provide the support to become big. Dream big. Go big. But I'm going to help you become big. How are you going to do that? You're just an armor bearer. I'm going to do that by telling you I am here with you. This young guy said, listen, Jonathan, if you want to pick a fight today against those Philistines over there in that other garrison, if that's what you want to do, he said, let's go ahead and do it because I am here with you. I'm not going to encourage you to do it and then stand back and watch you fight. No. I'm going to go with you and I'm going to get into. I wish I had a real church. That's the punchline to the whole sermon. We need encouragers who will tell us to dream big. We need encouragers who will tell us to go big. But we also need encouragers that will help us become big. And the only way you help dreamers become big is you got to make an investment into their dream. We need more encouragers who will not only speak us forward, but will provide the financial resources in order to go forward.
when we were on campus, we heard all of these great men and women who had gone on to success. And so many of them told stories of how their families made it possible. One guy was telling his story when they got to the financial aid part. He said, when we came to go to Morehouse, he said, the first semester, he said, my mom and dad paid for that. That's how I got to go to school. My mom and dad paid for it. He said, by the time I got to my second semester and I got my spring bill, that's when grandma and grandpa, they paid that bill. So I got 1 year under my belt. When I came back the next semester, mom and dad had given all they had. Grandma and grandpa had given out of their resources. He said it was in that semester that my aunts and uncles chipped in and paid my tuition. And I got another. He said all of my years, I can look back and see various members in my family who not only encouraged me to go to school, they paid for my school. And they made my dream possible. Why? That's what encouragers do. They not only tell us to dream big, they not only tell us to go big, they provide the support so that I can become big. Do we have any people here who have people who have contributed to the success in your own life? If you do, then you have an encourager. You have someone willing to take the risk in you, on you, your dream, your vision, your hope, your future. We need an encourager. Look at somebody and say, encourage. So encouragers, they encourage us to dream big. They inspire us to go big. They provide the support so that we can become big. Then last but not least, encouragers don't hate. Wish I would have got more amens on that one, but maybe that's just the way it is. Because the temptation is if you encourage someone to dream big, and if you come along throughout their journey and encourage them to get going to become big, if you step up to the plate and make an investment so that they can become big, there is a high probability they will become big. And when they become big, you've got to resist the temptation to hate on them. Look what he says. He says, look, I want you to do all that is in your heart. He said, I need you to get up and get going if we're going to fight today. Then he told him, he said, look, I'm here with you. I'm going to make the investment in you and with you. Then he said, I want you to do according to your heart. Let me slow this down so you can get it. When you invest in someone's dream, that does not give you the authority to take over. I wish I had a real church. I can tell I don't got enough encouragers. See, a lot of people think when they give the support, that means now they have ownership in the dream. Not only in the dream, but in the dreamer. And now that they're starting to make headway, now that they're getting ready to make a move, all of a sudden, you want to go from an encourager to a loan officer. All of a sudden, you want to start telling them about your dream and what you wanted to do. Touch somebody and say, that boat has already sailed. Don't get mad at your pastor. there was a season in your life when God sent encouragers to you. Shame on you if you weren't ready. Shame on you if you didn't dream big enough. Shame on you if you never got going. Shame on. Touch three people, say, don't hate. No, don't hate. Just because it's my time, just because it's my season, don't hate. Don't try to live your dreams through my life. The Roman writer says, rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. Real encouragers get joy when those they have encouraged become big. That's the role of an encourager. They encourage you to dream big. They encourage you to go big. They invest in you becoming big. And when success comes your way, they don't hate. They stand back and they allow you to bask in the limelight. That's what encouragers do. And that is what the church needs more of today. What would our churches look like if we had more Barnabases? Our churches are filled with people who want to preach like Paul. Churches are packed with men who want to lead like Peter. But when you look at the role of encourager, the numbers are not only low, they're dwindling each and every year. But if we're going to fulfill God's purpose in the church, we need more encouragers. We need more men, more women who will step up to the plate, not to be the one encouraged, but to be the encourager. Pastor, I need encouragement myself. And if not many of us, all of us do. But here's my pastor's tip for the day. One of the best things you can do while waiting for encouragement is to encourage somebody else. Somebody say, thank you, Pastor. That's just what I needed to hear. So if you're waiting for encouragement, if you're waiting on your dream, if you're waiting for your armor bearer to come alongside you, if you're waiting for someone to make an investment into your life and your dream, while you wait, I encourage you to encourage somebody else. Tap your neighbor and say, I'm here to encourage you. Yeah. And as a sign of my faith, I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to trust God that he's going to send somebody along my way who will encourage me. So I don't have to sit on the stool of do nothing. I came this Sunday so that I can encourage you in your career, encourage you in motherhood, encourage you in your education, encourage you in your entrepreneurship. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to find somebody that I can encourage. encourage. I'm going to find somebody that I can help dream big. I'm going to find somebody that I can say, get up and get going to. I'm going to find somebody that I can make the investment, the down payment, not on my dream, but on their dreams, because I believe God that if I help somebody, then the Lord, He will help me. Shall we all stand? What we need are encouragers. How many more marriages would still be together if we just had encouragers? How many family relationships would remain intact versus being broken if we just had an encourager? Someone who just come along. That you can make it. When you need encouragers most are during difficult times. When things are going good and things are going well, you don't need encouragers. Why? Because you got everybody else. But when the days grow dark, the road ahead becomes rocky and bumpy. And all of those that were with you in the beginning are no longer there. At the end, that's when you need an encourager. That's when you need someone to come along and say, I still believe in you. That's when you need someone to come along and say, hey, what are you doing here? Don't you remember all the stuff we talked about? Don't you remember all the things you used to say to me? The funny thing as a preacher, you preach long enough, people will come back and start preaching your very sermons back to you. So you know what, Pastor? Years and years ago, you preached this sermon. And they're sitting there think they're giving a witness, but they don't even know you are encouraging them. God is recycling His word back to you. That same encouragement you sent out years ago, He now brings back to you. Because everybody needs an encourager. If you're here this Sunday, and there is some area, some point in your life, say, Pastor, I could use some encouragement. When I got the message, Pastor, I know I'm supposed to be an encourager, and I will. I will. I'll make it a point this week. I'm going to find someone I'm going to encourage. But, Pastor, can I be honest? I need some encouragement myself. The great thing about us as believers, when we need encouragement, the Bible says we can go to the rock that is higher than I. And so while you wait for your armor bearer, your friend, your BFF, for God to send them your way, I hear the Lord saying this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. He said, I'll be your encourager. While you wait for your companion to finally love you, while you wait for them, I'll love you. While you wait for the other people in your school and in your graduating class to finally see you become what you've always said you become, while you wait for the next reunion, I'll celebrate you. So I'll be your encourager. While you need someone to talk to now and you have no one available, He said, cast your cares upon me. He said, for I care for you. If you're here this Sunday,